Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What? The Oscars are tonight. What? To cancel my plans that I had. I should watch that. I'm super excited about it all. I enjoy it all. I've enjoyed the movies pretty much this year. And, I'm disappointed that Cats didn't get a nomination for Best Picture of the Year, of course, like everyone else. But I'm super looking forward to seeing what does wind up winning. And I've been looking forward to this chat this morning with two of my favorite critics here in the Chicago area, Pamela Powell and Chuck Koplinski, the WCIA-TV, the Illinois Times, the News Gazette, Daily Journal, and FF2 Media, respectively. Good morning, you two. Thank you for coming in this morning on one of our busiest days of the year.
It is. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to have you here today. Are you looking forward to tonight?
Yeah, it's crazy that it's here already. Much shortened kind of award season, and now here we are at Oscar Day.
Mm-hmm. Why did they move it up this year? Do we know?
Do we know?
I don't know, but Pam and I have talked about this a lot in that I think the Academy is realizing that they've lost some of their power with all the other awards shows that come before them. I think some of their thunder has been lost. I don't know if this was an effort to, squelch that or make it more prominent. I'm not quite sure. I never could get a straight answer.
I wonder if a part of it is to lessen the effect on the Academy Awards by what comes before it. Because the award shows, the Golden Globes, the Critics' Choice, the SAG Awards, and all the others that come before that. Much like a presidential primary, what happens before the main election has an effect on the voters of the Academy Award. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know. And they open up the voting, I think, January 30th through February 4th. So it just closed. So right. I don't know if all of that might have an effect. Whose speeches said what might influence who gets best actor or actress?
Right.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Are we going to see any surprises? Because I think especially in the acting categories, they may as well just give out all four of them right at the beginning of the show and save a lot of time.
Right. I think that's the only thing that we agree on this Oscar
most
thing is the actors. I agree.
Well, and I think it was the same situation last year, but then all of a sudden we had that surprise. I mean, Glenn Close was going to be the winner.
Hands
and
it was going to happen. Supposed to win last year, right?
And then we get that upset with Olivia Colman. So I don't know. I agree with you. It seems though all four of these are a lock, but that's one of the reasons we watch, is that unexpected thing that might happen.
Right. I mean, I've said this many times. The only reason that I watch is for things that go wrong.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it so much more interesting.
Right. If everything went right, it would be the most boring show ever. But for somebody tripping on a stairwell or something like that, that really makes the day. Or announcing the wrong picture for best picture.
Yeah, that was kind of a big deal.
It was a big deal. A couple of years ago, yeah. So for the acting categories, are we all agreeing Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, Renee Zellweger for Judy, Laura Dern for A Marriage Story, and Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I think it's hands down all the four of them.
There hasn't been anything to say otherwise at this point.
Yeah, every award show that's come before it, but every indication seems to be that nothing is going to change with any of those. What are some of the other categories that you think could be interesting? I think the categories of best adapted screenplays could be interesting, in which the nominees for adapted screenplay are The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and The Two Popes. I've predicted that Jojo Rabbit is going to win that. What do you guys think?
I put down Joker. I just think that's been a strong suit all the way along. I think the power the messages that the film has, I think is just extraordinary and has really resonated with a lot of people. And I think maybe the Oscar voters are going to go ahead and drive it home with adapted screenplay.
Okay, Chuck, how about you?
I have Jojo Rabbit as well, but if there's an upset, it's here, I think, with Little Women. I know there was quite an outcry that Greta Gerwig wasn't nominated for Best Director. Maybe the Academy will throw her this one as a makeup. That's possible, but I think JoJo has the momentum.
Yeah, I was going back and forth between JoJo Rabbit, because I think the Academy is going to want to award that movie with something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think that this is probably the best chance to give something to JoJo Rabbit. But I don't think The Irishman is going to win, but I think also that if there's a category where The Irishman is going to win anything, it's going to be in this category. So I don't think that Martin Scorsese is going to win.
Mm-mm.
I don't think that Pacino is going to win. I don't think Pesci is going to win. And, you know, all the other categories in this movie that everybody, including myself, was just gaga over
right.
when it first opened.
Right.
Despite the fact that I've only just now been able to get feeling in my buttocks again after sitting in one place for 3.5 hours, that this movie that was so heralded is going to wind up possibly going home empty-handed tonight.
Well, you know, as in so many things in life, timing is so important. And you know how these movies gain momentum and lose momentum. And for some odd reason, you know, The Irishman has lost that momentum. But I know 1917, which I know you loved, it seems to have gained momentum, and it seems to just be cresting right at the right time.
Yeah, it seems though. The nominees for Best Original Screenplay are Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. Pam, what's your pick for that?
I've got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think they're really going to give a lot to Quentin Tarantino this year. I also have him picked for another category. But I think this is a really strong category, though. Every single one of these films truly is very original.
Yeah.
And there's not one on here that I didn't like. I would say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the one that I didn't like as much as the rest.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a little bit of an homage to QT.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Chuck?
Well, and you're talking about The Irishman maybe getting one because they want to give one. I think this is where Parasite gets the award. A lot of people are very high on that film. It is quite clever. I think of the five, I enjoyed Knives Out the most. And I wish that had more love, but I think this is going to be where Parasite gets its big moment.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. That of all of these, I liked Knives Out personally best. Well, 1917 was my personal pick of favorite movie of the year.
Oh, wow.
But I don't think that its story is what's going to propel mm-hmm. 1917 to whatever victory it has tonight. It's in other categories that we'll talk about in a second. And I also think that if 1917 winds up winning Best Picture, that they are going to want to honor Parasite with this award. And don't you think it's also going to take, they're not calling it Best Foreign Film anymore.
Right.
They call it Best International Feature Film.
Yeah,
In which Parasite is also nominated. It's got to win Best International as well, right?
I think it will too. Although that's a really strong category as well.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible films in that. Les Mis, Pain and Glory, Honeyland, and Corpus Christi. All really strong films, but I think Parasite has that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think that it was with Parasite that just captured everybody's attention this year? It's clever. It's very clever.
It's surprising.
But for every person that tells me how clever it is, there's somebody else that's telling me, I can't read subtitles.
Well, you know,
I don't like subtitles.
Well, I think we had the same reaction to it in that we liked it all the way up to the last act. And I don't know, it's tapping into that whole 1% thing and the equity, you know, the lack of equity as far as economics are concerned. I it's a question I have too. I really don't have a definitive answer. It's just one of those movies of the time, I guess.
It is, and I think it resonates with everybody. And it doesn't matter that this is a South Korean film. This is a film for everybody, the 99% versus the 1%.
Yeah.
And I think that just resonates. And when you see somebody exacting revenge upon someone who has gotten it pretty easily, there's just maybe like a cathartic thing there.
It really is a rather universal, very extremely relatable story of the haves and have-nots. Mm-hmm.
It is.
And that's really what Parasite is about. Highly recommended. So we'll see what winds up happening in the screenplay categories. Before we get to Best Director, before we get to Best Picture, I want to open up the phone lines, 312-981-7200, for some of the things that you've seen, that you've loved, things that you would like to see win awards tonight. The 630 area code texts in, I watched Marriage Story on Netflix. Can someone please explain to me why this is an Oscar-nominated film?
Well,
I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because it's a beautiful story, and it's a tragic story. It's one that makes, for me, made me feel great about two people who love each other unconditionally, where that love, that unconditional love for one another, turns into absolute hatred for each other because of things that happen in the movie. I think it's so clever. I think the writing in this is so clever. Mm-hmm. And except for Parasite, Marriage Story is so beautifully written, and maybe in another year, could have done better in the best screenplay category.
Well, I think, too, this, again, is another film that speaks to so many people. How many people do you know that you've either been through a divorce or going through one, or your parents have, or you know someone close to you that has? I think, again, it's another story that resonates with everybody that you can relate to that. I think the acting was extraordinary.
Yes. Yeah.
Adam Driver was incredible.
Right.
I was glued to his every moment, and I think all the supporting characters, this is the one thing that I really loved about the film, mm-hmm. is that even the supporting actors had their moments to shine. They had their own stories. They had these incredible scenes that were wonderfully powerful that resonated with me, whether or not you've been through a divorce.
But you didn't mention your favorite actress, Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, whatever.
Do you hate Scarlett Johansson?
I don't.
You
I'm
just
stuttering.
Say yes. You just
no,
say yes.
No, I just feel that maybe there are attributes of her acting that I do not really.
Are you running for president in New Hampshire?
Right?
Wait a minute.
I stutter way too
Wait
much to do that.
You are tap dancing around this question.
Aren't I, though?
Like I.
Thanks, Chuck, for throwing me under the bus once again.
So you're not crazy about Scarlett Johansson?
I'm not. But but her two films this year, I thought she was the best I've ever seen her. How was that for an answer?
Wow. There we go. See how many delegates you get with that kind of answer. It's kind of amazing to me that they haven't gotten more love on the awards trail this year, because they were both really quite amazing, Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver. And I know Joaquin Phoenix is great. And in any other year, I guess Adam Driver would have been a shoe-in. I mean, all of these other actors were amazing this year.
Yeah, can I bring you mentioned Marriage Story and ScarJo and Adam. Do you think that might be some of this whole Netflix effect that they're dealing with, the backlash? Do you think that that has any factor as far as that and The Irishman is concerned?
That people don't want to vote for Netflix films?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. I have to think about that a little more. I think that just Joaquin, and in the case of Best Actor, that Joaquin Phoenix's performance was so diabolically disturbing that, you know, people just can't help paying attention to that.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that I am a little more puzzled in the Best Actress category, where Renee Zellweger has been winning everything, and you've got performances like Charlize Theron in Bombshell, like you've got Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story. Saoirse Ronan was great in Little Women, but I would easily put up Scarlett Johansson and Charlize Theron against Renee Zellweger, who, in my opinion, was just doing an impersonation, and I was not really that blown away by Renee Zellweger's performance. I am clearly in the minority with this, because she's been winning everything. But
I know how you feel with those minority feelings. Yeah,
yeah, right. I don't hate her as much as you do with Scarlett Johansson, apparently. But
is it also an award for Judy? I mean, is it also paying homage to her? Is that, could that be
part
of it as well?
I think Hollywood does like honoring its Hollywood legends.
Yeah.
I think that may have a lot to do with it. Yeah.
But yeah, and for some odd reason, Bombshell,
bombed.
It just didn't hit the way I thought it was going to be,
it's
and that's hurting her.
It's such a good movie.
It
yeah,
is, right?
I can't
such
figure
a
it
good
out.
Movie.
It is.
Yeah.
And Charlize Theron is incredible. She truly transforms into Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
Right before our eyes, she is her. And the story is extremely powerful, extremely timely, and I don't. People just didn't go see this movie,
is it
and
just
it just
too
never.
Uncomfortable?
I don't know. It just never garnered the buzz.
Yeah. Too political, and the times that we're living now, we're just coming out of the impeachment trials, and everything that's been going on. Maybe people just, they don't want to spend money and go want to go watch more politics.
Maybe. They just want more escapism.
They just want to, would rather hear someone sing The Man That Got Away.
Which, can you do that for us, Dean?
Which would really be, it would be a funny song for Bombshell now that I think of it.
Yeah, really.
This is Dean Richards, Sunday Morning, WGN. Chuck Koplinski is here and Pamela Powell, film critics, WCIA-TV and the Illinois Times, News Gazette, Daily Journal, FF2 Media, talking about our Oscar predictions. And let's talk a little bit about the show itself tonight. What do we know about what we might see? No host. That's
right.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked last year when we didn't have a host.
I think it flew by a little bit faster last year with no host. Yeah. And they didn't have as many song and dance numbers last year either. And I think that probably cut down on the running time, which is going to change this year because I understand that we're going to have all five songs that were nominated
right.
are going to be performed in full by their respective talents. And I guess there's going to be a lot more song and dance numbers. I don't know what they are. I think that's being held until tonight. But that's going to be adding a few more minutes to the show.
Yeah, Billie Eilish, who cleaned up at the Grammy Awards, is going to be performing tonight. We don't know in what capacity. I'm thinking that if things are going too well and the show is too happy, they're going to throw Billie Eilish in there to bring people down a little bit with one of her signature songs. What about that? We're hearing like an incredible, lavish set design.
Yeah, apparently they're redesigning the Palladium, the archway. Everything has been torn down and reconfigured with 40,000 carats of Swarovski crystals weighing a little over a half a ton. And so everything is going to look different. New design, new everything to add a little more pop and punch to Hollywood.
Little oomph to it all.
Right.
Yeah. I hope they drop some of the silly things where they, you know, bring pizza in for everybody and things that just completely waste time during the show. I don't mind hearing the five original songs performed. They're nominated songs. It's a nice break for some entertainment in the show. But some of the really lame attempts at comedy during the show generally fall flat.
Mm-hmm.
It generally doesn't work very well. So I have to think also that there'll be some like tributes to Hollywood. Certainly, Kirk Douglas is certainly going to be mentioned tonight. Kobe Bryant is certainly going to be mentioned tonight. Whether it's in the memorial segment or in some other ways, but Kirk Douglas is a major contributor to the motion picture industry. I have to think that they're going to do something special for him.
Oh, I'm sure that they will. He was 103, I believe.
103 years old.
I mean, how much he did contribute to Hollywood from start to now.
Yeah. What about in some of the lesser, I shouldn't say lesser categories, but things like documentary, things like cinematography, costume design. What are some of your picks for some of these categories?
Well, I'd love to know what you think about the fact that I don't think 1917 was in the cinematography
editing. For cinematography.
It is.
It's not for editing.
That's my pick.
Which
1917 for cinematography.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think definitely that will win. Interestingly, I mean, you know, even though they make it look as though there isn't a single edit in 1917, there is some creative editing that goes on to create the illusion of one fluid shot for the whole movie. And I would argue that's maybe more interesting editing than some of the other films. So I guess that is a little bit of a surprise. How about for you, Chuck?
They did too good of a job.
Right. It's too seamless.
You made it look too simple.
So it's too simple. I think Ford versus Ferrari is going to be the one for editing. I think they're going to want to give that. I think Ford versus Ferrari is going to take home three. They're going to take home some technical awards because I think they're going to want to honor that film. That was, I think, a crowd favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want to give it something. So I think it'll get the editing award.
What about for costume design? Nominations, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Don't period movies generally win those kind of categories?
That's what I went with.
Like Little Women?
Because that always throws me. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I mean, it looks great, but did they go to the Goodwill and get
pick up some 70s clothes? Right.
Yeah. How much? But the Little Women, I mean, wow, that you obviously had to put a lot of work into that. You know, so that's what I went with.
Seems like the more difficult to me, too. What do you think, Pam?
Well, I actually think it is going to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with that. I think they did pay very close attention to.
Did you consult
decade.
On that?
I did. I gave them some of my jean jackets that I had left over from the 1970s, you know, that boxy shoulder pad look.
Right.
But personally, I would love to see Jojo Rabbit. I thought that was extraordinary with the vibrant colors and then the muted colors and how they played off of that with the costuming. I thought that was well done.
Yeah. Are we all in agreement that 1917 is going to win cinematography?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I don't see how it can't.
Yeah.
How about best animated movie? This is going to be an interesting one this year because normally if there's a Pixar movie in the nominations, it's done and the Pixar movie wins, which this year is Toy Story 4. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World is nominated. I Lost My Body, Klaus, and Missing Link are also nominated.
I am going to place my bets on Missing Link, the Laika Productions. Toy Story 4 I loved, but I just think that maybe we're going to go with the animation, that whole claymation aspect of animation.
Kind of a stop-motion claymation thing.
I think that was extraordinary, and I'm hoping that all of the voters will see that maybe that took a little bit more to do than Toy Story 4. Maybe the whole story resonates more with them. I think it's going to be a coin toss, though, but I'm going to put my money on the Missing Link.
Is Pixar and the Toy Story franchise beginning to run out of gas?
That's a good question.
I thought they kind of redeemed themselves with this one.
Yeah,
I wasn't a fan of the third one,
but I thought
I like this too. I, as long as there's toys, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're going to be fine.
As long as there are toys and a story.
Yeah.
We're all set.
We start to throw cutlery into the scheme
as
well.
So what's next?
That opens up who knows what.
That opens up.
You do play with your food, don't you, Chuck?
Well, with my fork. And,
What did you predict in this one, Chuck?
My heart, this is always the trick. You know, your heart and then what's going to happen. I loved Missing Link. I think it's the best film out there. But I think Toy Story 4 is going to win because, as Pam and I were talking before, everyone votes for these. It's not just the animators now nominating. Everyone votes for all of these. And if the members saw one animated film, it was probably Toy Story 4.
Toy Story, yeah.
You know.
That's the interesting part of the Academy voting, that in many of the categories, if you're a cinematographer, then you vote in the cinematography categories. If you are a costume designer, you vote in the costume designing category. And some of, if you're a film editor, etc. But there are some of the categories where everybody, if you are an Academy member, and how many thousands? Are there like 4,000 something or more?
I think there's more. I think there's close to 7,000 now.
7,000 people? Then 7,000 people are voting. You would hope that they've watched all the movies, but I promise you, there is no way that 7,000 people sat and watched every single one of these movies that came out. Even though they send out DVDs, or now they're sending out links online so you can watch them on your smart TVs at home. They made it as easy as possible for people to watch these movies, but people don't have time to watch these movies.
No.
It doesn't happen. You're going to have an Oscar party tonight, and you would like a one-page printable ballot. We've got those up on the TV website, which is wgntv.com/deanslist. Got my predictions on there and this free printable Oscar ballot, wgntv.com/deanslist. Nice to have Pamela Powell and Chuck Koplinski in with us this morning sharing Oscar predictions. Anything really disappoint you that did not get nominated? We were talking about this during the break. Were there any snubs this year of great films that should have been recognized?
I was heartbroken when Mariel Heller and her film A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood didn't get any recognition for Best Picture or Best Directing. Tom Hanks is nominated in the Best Supporting category. I don't think he's going
to win.
He's
not going to win, right?
But at least he was recognized, or the film was recognized in that way. But yeah, I thought that was a huge snub. And The Farewell, and I know that's not your favorite film, Chuck, but
I couldn't agree with you more on that.
I
was really surprised that of The Farewell and that Awkwafina did not get nominated.
I was surprised for Best Directing and even Original Screenplay. I mean, this was a stranger than fiction kind of story and nothing, no recognition. Yeah. I was saddened by that.
Even the amazing performance by the woman who played the grandmother in that movie, who was, she was acknowledged at the Independent Spirit Awards last night, and she did win Best Supporting Actress. I was a little bit shocked that she didn't get nominated because that was an amazing performance as
well. She was absolutely incredible as Nai Nai. And I guess she's quite the icon overseas, not in America, but she should be here as well.
Yeah. Highly recommend it if you didn't see it. Chuck, how about for you?
Well, I know we were talking a little bit about Uncut Gems. I think that's the biggest omission there. But another movie I liked was The Lighthouse. I know that it's very dark and most people don't go for horror type films, but even for cinematography, well, that's the only nomination it got. But I thought that was just a really unique standout film for me this year.
Yeah, didn't Willem Dafoe win an Independent Spirit Award last night as well?
And he wasn't even nominated here.
Here's a little fun thing to do today if you have time. Google the Adam Sandler acceptance speech from, he won Best Lead Actor last night. The directors won Best Direction last night, and the movie also won Best Editing. It won more awards than any other film at the Spirit Awards. But Adam Sandler was hilarious in his acceptance speech last night. Don't play the clip out loud near your grandmother. There are some naughty words.
Or your grandchildren.
Or your grandchildren. Grandparents or grandchildren probably don't want to do that. All right. The nominations for Best Directing. The films The Irishman, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. Pam Powell, your prediction?
You know, this is a strong category, and I'm trying to get inside the minds of all the voters in this category, and it's really tough for me to do. But I think they're going to go with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Quentin Tarantino. Again, I think any one of these could possibly win, but I'm going to hedge my bets and say they're going to go with that kind of old flavor and reminiscent of what Hollywood used to be like. And a lot of these people probably wish things were back in that time.
Yeah, probably grew up in that era.
Right,
May very well be nostalgic.
Exactly.
I don't think Tarantino's going to win tonight.
No?
I'll disagree with you on that. But Chuck, what do you think?
I think Sam Mendes is going to win, but if there's going to be an upset tonight, it'll be here, I think, with Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. Yeah. He could sneak in there.
Yeah, I think because of the innovative style of direction for 1917, I know other films have done it before, but the way that Sam Mendes tells this story and draws you into the story of this, the story of the two soldiers that are assigned to go behind enemy lines during World War I to deliver a message or else thousands will be killed in an ambush. The way he draws you in with the style that appears to be one fluid shot throughout the whole movie is technically, I mean, that's the 1917, I think, is a director's film. There are no huge stars in lead roles in 1917.
Right.
The movie is about the story and the way Sam Mendes tells the story. And that's why I think he's going to take that. But we'll see. We'll see.
We'll find out.
We will see tonight. And then for the category of Best Picture, the nominees are Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and the Korean language film Parasite. Do you think Parasite has got a chance to win Best Picture?
An outside chance, you know, and what I wish the Oscars would do, and if they called me, I could help them fix this show. I wish they would show us the vote results, because they do the preferential ballot, you know, in which first your first choice gets 10 points and your second choice gets, I think, 8 or 5 or whatever. And I think that there's probably been some interesting results we're not privy to. Parasite could sneak in. I mean, if more people vote for that as their second choice, and then the first choice is spread out between 1917 or The Irishman, it could sneak in, and I would love to see those final numbers.
Yeah.
How did it work out? I think 1917 is going to be your winner, but could be an upset here, and the preferential voting is where that would occur, or why that would occur.
I think that 1917 is going to be the winner because of many of the indicators along the award show route. Mm-hmm. Not so much what happened at the Golden Globes. I mean, those are, you know, I think the Hollywood Foreign Press, like 80 dopes like me that, interview people when their movies come out. There's virtually no credibility whatsoever for the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's just a big fun party where everybody gets drunk. But the Critics' Choice Association, the Screen Actors Guild, many of these awards, although now that I think of it, I believe Parasite won Best Ensemble, which is the equivalent of their Best Picture Award. The Directors Guild Award went to Parasite, went to 1917, and that's been correctly predicting the Best Picture since its inception in 1948, all but like six or eight times, something like that. They have a remarkable record in selecting the Best Picture. So all the things that Chuck said, plus some of these other factors, these historic factors, lead me to believe that 1917 is going to be the winner. And Pam, what do you think?
You know, when you go through these lists, you think, what do I want to win, and what do I think is going to win? And I have two different sheets filled out. I have my wants and my predictions, and they are totally opposite.
What are your wants?
My wants? Well, my wants weren't even nominated, so we'll go to the nominations. And I would love to see Jojo Rabbit win for Best Picture.
Okay.
That, to me, was one of the most creative and entertaining and maybe timely as well kind of film that we could watch. And it's something that I think appeals to the general population as well, which is kind of incredible to say that, you know, Hitler could, a story about Hitler or pretend Hitler could possibly appeal to everybody, but I think this story does.
I think Mel Brooks has shown us that.
This is true of the producers.
Hitler's got legs in the movie business, yeah.
Very, very true. But I think what is going to win, I'm going to be in agreement with both of you and say 1917 for all the different reasons, but I think most because it is just cinematic brilliance and being able to fool us into thinking that we are seeing that one shot and then taking us and making us feel like we are walking next to these boys, and these are young boys who are fighting in World War One, and they do represent what happened back in that time period. So just that fact in itself, I think, is going to squeak it above the other nominees.
Yeah, you know, when I left seeing 1917, I think I may have been in a screening with you. We may have been sitting near each other.
Right.
And I remember at the end of the movie commenting, it's like, oh my, like I'm completely blown away. Why was I so immersed in this movie so much? And then I started thinking about it and the way that he directed the film. It's like he forced me to feel like I was walking in the worn out army boots of these two guys that are trying to sneak across enemy lines. It's rather ingenious storytelling.
It is. It truly is. And if you can bring somebody into a film, then that is something extremely powerful that can't always be done in storytelling.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Chuck, at all about what may happen tonight?
I don't know. I think, like I say, 1917 will be the big winner with four, but if there's going to be upsets, Parasite's your dark horse, definitely. Let's hope that you are wrong as far as all the music stuff is concerned, because I would like to get under, you know, 3 hours and 30 minutes.
You can do some laundry in the middle.
There you go. Let the dog out, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure that if somebody played any of these songs, I saw all of them, that I would recognize any of these songs that are nominated for Best Original Song. The song from Harriet, Stand Up.
That's beautiful.
That one I would recognize. I'm not sure I would even recognize any of these songs otherwise.
I'm right there with
you. You're not alone.
So do I really want to see them performed in full length on the show?
So I wonder, Harriet, I wonder if that's going to win tonight. I wonder if that's got a chance. I wonder if Rocket Man's going to get some love. There's another movie that I think got a little bit snubbed this year that should have gotten a little more love. I was a fan of the movie. I was a fan of Taron Egerton. playing Elton John this year. I think that this movie should have gotten a little more love. Is this the way perhaps they get Elton John on their show?
I think he's scheduled.
Is he scheduled to perform? Oh, probably going to perform the song, right?
He is, yeah. As far as I know, he's scheduled to perform as well as Idina Menzel.
Yeah. I wonder if this is how they get him to come on the stage to accept an award to feature Elton John on the show. We'll all find out. The red carpets start at 5 o'clock on the E! Channel, 6 o'clock on ABC, 7 o'clock where the Oscars will be broadcast tonight. As I say, we'll be recapping it on the WGN TV Morning News tomorrow. You want to see what Uncle Dean looks like with no sleep tomorrow morning? You want to see our genius makeup people? And
how about your hair person?
How they just slap it on. Tomorrow is when they actually send me to Earl Scheib. to get my makeup done, because I will be pulling an all-nighter for it all. It's all tomorrow morning. Pamela Powell, thank you very much. Chuck Koplinski, great to see you both. People want to see your reviews and see what it is that you guys do in your day jobs. What are the best ways to do all that?
You should go to Facebook.
Right.
And our website, Real Talk with Chuck and Pam. That's R-E-E-L.
Good deal. Thanks, guys.